Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
April 10th, 2007, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, more on Jay Mazel. I'm just back from Photoshop World, which is put on by the National Association of Photoshop Professionals, NAPP. The event happened in Boston at the Heinz Convention Center, and it was a terrific event. Not only during the week did we get to go to sessions on aspects of CS3, the new release of Photoshop and its related applications by Adobe, things like InDesign, the new bridge, Camera Raw, all that stuff with experts who really know the software inside and out. There were also lots of photographers there talking about photography. And I really have to tip my hat to the NAPP folks, Scott Kelby, and all of those people that worked with Scott to put this program together, because it was a full-bodied event. You know, one moment you could be watching Terry White talk about InDesign and all the cool things you'll be able to do with the next version of it. You could watch Scott do his Photoshop tips for photographers. And then you could turn around and see someone like Jay Mazel, who is probably one of the most respected photographers in the U.S. right now, talk about the art of taking pictures, the art of color and light and gesture and things like that. It wasn't just about how to use Photoshop. It was about how to use imaging tools. And for that, you know, reason, I think this event is continuing to become one of the premier events for digital imaging folks. So, you know, it's been a very interesting few weeks, because before that, there was WPPI, which very much a photographer's event, as PMA, which is sort of the trade show that covers all this stuff. But this week had a little different spin, because it was a nice balance of software and also how to take great pictures. We had folks like George Lepp there. So very interesting. So I want to talk about some of the things that I learned from Jay this week. I think you're going to be fascinated, because there is so much information that he passes on to help all of us become great photographers. He's very free with the things that he's learned over the years through commercial assignments, through his editorial work. I mean, you know, this is really something else. Then there was also the expo floor, where there were all sorts of sessions and stuff going on. And, you know, a lot of, you know, vendors such as Canon was there. A lot of people dealing with lighting and software. The ExpoDisc folks were there, which I have a tip that I got from them that I'm going to pass on. Very exciting. But today I want to focus on Jay's talk, because for me it was really one of the highlights of the show. So Jay comes out on stage, and Vincent Versace was with him, and Vincent also gave some talks during the week. And Vincent was helping Jay with the presentation. And the first thing that Jay talked about was having a camera with you all the time. Now, we've talked about this a lot on the Digital Story, and I talk about this in my workshops. But I really loved how he was adamant about that. You know, not just a camera with you, not stuffed away in your backpack, you know, when you're out taking a walk, definitely not left at home on the desk, but a camera around your neck and ready to go. Because you never know when a shot is going to happen. And, you know, he actually used the term, which I just love this, he used the term grab shot. So I'm going, all right. I mean, I love, you know, I already am thrilled with Jay's photography, but I never knew he used the term grab shot before. But the thing about it that he was saying is that by having a camera with you and ready to go, a lot of times you only have a second or two to get a great shot. It just happens right there in front of you. So your camera has to be, you know, set to capture it, and it has to be available to you so that you can shoot that frame, and then it might be gone. Now, I've had the same situation myself where I actually had a camera with me stuffed away in my backpack or whatever. I saw something great happening, but by the time I got the camera out of my backpack, into my hands, turned on, and then possibly checking the settings, I lost the moment. Now, Jay admits that he loses far more moments than he actually captures, but he captures many more than he would otherwise because he does have a camera on him and ready to go. And he was walking that talk at the show. The first thing that he did when he got off stage is he put his camera around his neck as he was visiting with people and so forth. And it was ready to go. So tip number one, it seems obvious, but it's a great reminder. Have your camera with you and be ready to shoot. The next thing that Jay talked about was sort of his frame of mind when he does shoot. He had a very interesting way of putting this. What he says is try to empty your mind. Try, you know, when you're getting ready to go out to take pictures, try to empty your mind of sort of everything that's in there in terms of preconceived notions and so forth. And then let the images of the world fill you up. And so then his camera, you know, when he's out, you know, watching the world and taking pictures, it's a process of, you know, filling up his mind with, you know, the color and the light and the gesture of things that are happening around him. I thought this was super fascinating. One of the things about Jay is he's one of those guys that can go anywhere at any time and get great shots. I'm going to tell you just a little anecdote about when I was in Iceland, which is, you know, one of the most beautiful places on this planet. And we all 12 of us had been in Iceland for a day, and we had gotten to our first outpost, and we were having lunch together and sort of introducing ourselves and talking about what our approach was going to be to photography. One of the photographers on the team, Michael Reichman, who had been to Iceland a few times before and was actually fairly experienced in shooting there, was talking about how you really have to go to the outer reaches. You really have to go way out where people don't normally go to really find the new and fresh shots. And he was very adamant about this. You know, he said, you know, you're not going to, you just can't hang around here and really capture Iceland. You have to go out and go into Iceland and to find those wonderful shots. And Michael would travel, you know, these long trips, and he would go out and ford rivers and do all this stuff to find the shots that, you know, met his requirements. Now, another photographer on the trip, by the way, I respect both of these guys a lot, even though they're very different. John Isaac was saying, you know what, I can just walk down this street right here and I can find great shots all around me. And he was like not worried about having to go anywhere to get, you know, what he considered to be great imagery. And I loved, you know, this conversation, these two very different approaches to photography. And Jay Mazel is one of those guys that just feels like he can go anywhere, anytime, and get great shots. And part of the reason is because of his eye. He has developed his eye so that he can spot color and he can spot light in interesting ways and interesting patterns. He pays close attention to juxtaposition, how, you know, one thing lines up with another. He talked a lot about pattern and how we love, as human beings, we love pattern. We love repetition of objects. But then he said the really interesting shots are the shots where pattern is interrupted, So you might have a row of lawn chairs, for example, and then one of them might be turned a different way. He says suddenly that interrupted pattern is what becomes an interesting shot. Jay told this story about how he had just walked out his front door, saw a Federal Express truck there. He took a picture of an element on the Federal Express truck, and basically it was an arrow on the FedEx truck. And he showed this picture to one of his photographer friends, and he goes, look, you know, I look at this shot that I captured on a Federal Express truck. And the guy looks at him and goes, you must be wrong about that because, you know, there are no arrows on Federal Express trucks. And so what Jay had done is he also then took a second shot of the whole side of the of the truck. And what happens is, in the FedEx itself, if you look at FedEx, you will see that an arrow forms in the negative space in their logo, a very nice, clean arrow. So this is a sort of thing of being able to see pattern and see color and see how this all works together, and then isolating it to create interesting shots. And his shot of the arrow with the texture of the metal and, you know, a little rivet here and there was very well done and a very compelling photograph and a great example for how you can find shots in a world that is very commonplace to us. Another thing that Jay brought up was how to pay attention to every square millimeter of the frame in your composition. And I cannot agree with him more on this. This is something that we all have to fight. What happens is, when we see something interesting, when we do find that interesting object, that interesting interaction, whatever it happens to be, we get this tunnel vision. We focus right on the object and we tend to forget about the rest of the things that are happening in the frame, on the edges, in the corners, and in the background. So one of the things that Jay talked about was train your eye so that, you know, once you spot that interesting subject, then you align the composition so that all elements in the composition complement or work with that subject that you're recording, including the background. You know, the classic example that we use of taking the picture of a pretty girl that has a telephone pole growing out of the top of her head comes right out of that. You become so focused on the beauty of the woman that you forget to see the background and that there's a telephone pole coming out of her head. So I love this, and he showed some very good examples of this, but the key is, remember to look in all corners and all aspects of your composition, including the background. Don't become, you know, zeroed in too much on the subject so that you ignore everything else. Jay also talked about moving around a subject when you have time. I mean, when you see a shot, take the shot initially, but then move around, move 180 degrees, raise the camera higher, lower the camera, do all these things. He titled all this, you know, sort of "Move Your Ass" was the subtitle for this. But he says, you've got to move. You've got to be fluid. You can't just take the classic shot and then move on. Work your subject. Work around it. Go behind it and watch the different things that happen with light and color and texture as you move around your subject. Another interesting theme was what he called climax. And a lot of times we will refer to this as the decisive moment. But really what he's talking about is that, especially with moving objects, but it could be in still composition too, there is that pinnacle moment that if you can capture it, then suddenly the viewer feels the climax. It feels that you have captured this image at precisely the right moment. So there's some reflexes involved with this. There's some anticipation. And of course, there are taking more than just one frame when something is happening. Now, the week before, when I was listening to some of the photographers talk, they also recommended that a lot of times the best shot happens right before we think we would normally take the shot. So, for instance, if you're taking a portrait and, you know, the subject's sort of getting ready to have his or her picture taken, the best shot might be just that moment when the subject is just about ready and then turns to you and smiles. And then, of course, you take that shot too. But the shot that you take right before the smile could be the most revealing shot, could be the shot that really tells the story of that person. So, you know, you have to look for climax, look for the decisive moment, look for that moment that happens right before the expected moment. And this led to another thing that he talked about, which is surprise. And I like the idea of surprise. If you can have the element of surprise in your photographs, then you're really way ahead of the game. And, you know, so you're looking at a scene that seems very common to you, but then there's something different, something unexpected happens. He was taking a shot of a family. There was a there was a young boy and a young girl. The girl was a little bit older than the boy, and a mom and dad, and they were backlit. The lighting was wonderful, and the hair was kind of lit up, and there was a picket fence there. You know, a lot of the standard elements that we would put in a family portrait. And he said that he was working the shot, and it was, you know, it was going fairly well, but he didn't really have what he wanted. And then at one moment, the young boy actually pulled on his sister's hair a little bit, just as an act of mischief. And his sister's reaction and his sort of delight in getting her goat, and then the parents kind of reacting, looking on to that, that was the photo. And, you know, he showed that photo, and he's absolutely right. That was a photo. There was energy and interaction and a decisive moment. And it wasn't just a static family portrait. So I think this is, again, something to keep in mind. You know, even though the photography that we're talking about here is still photography, when you look at a still image, it can have energy, it can have motion, it can have feeling, and a lot of times that happens when you capture something at precisely the right moment. And Jay is a master of that, and we all can be a master of that if we work on our timing and we work on our anticipation and we have our eyes open for those that was like taking two words and putting them into one, for those types of shots. I have a few more Jay goodies that I'm going to come back to in a moment. But I want to take a break for a second and talk a little bit about the show floor and our sponsors and the photo assignment for this month. Now, the show floor and our sponsorship sort of melds together this week. One of the folks that were there at the Photoshop show was ExpoDisc. And so I went over and I talked to them a little bit. ExpoDisc is one of the sponsors of the Digital Story. They are a great sponsor, and they really stand behind the work that we're all doing here. And I was talking to them a little bit about the ExpoDisc and asking, do you guys have any new tips for me or anything that I can pass along? And one of the guys there, John, said, well, have you ever used it as an incident meter? Instead of a meter that sort of reads the average of the light that's in front of us at the scene there. And I said, well, no, I mean, how would you do that exactly? So what he said, and I'll write this up and put it on the Digital Story sometime in the next week or so, but I'll go ahead and tell you about it right here. What you do is you put the ExpoDisc on your camera lens in front of it, and then you move your settings to aperture priority and set it at, you know, whatever f-stop that you want to use. So then you go ahead and you have to turn off the autofocusing, right? And point your camera with the ExpoDisc still on at the scene that you want to record and take a picture. Now, what the ExpoDisc does is that it records a pure 18% gray rendering of that scene. And, you know, the problems that we have a lot of times with our meters in reflective mode, which is what they normally on, is that they get fooled by, you know, some highlight or some big dark area. But when you have the ExpoDisc on in front of the lens like this, then you're rendering the whole scene as 18% gray, which is what your meter is calibrated for. So take a picture, then go back and look at that picture, that gray. It'll just be a gray thing there in your viewfinder. And look at the image data on it, which you can do right there in camera. And look and see what the shutter speed was. And that will give you both the f-stop and the shutter speed for an incident reading of that scene. Now, I tried it a few times, and it worked pretty well, and the exposures were spot on. So it's something that, for those of you that have ExpoDisc, and they are a great tool. Normally, we use them for white balance and to get accurate color on capture. But try it as an incident meter, too, and let me know what you think. Let me know how it works out for you. It's a great way to capture scenes that especially have, you know, a lot of highlights and a lot of dark areas, and you have a hard time figuring out what to meter on. Put the ExpoDisc in front. Go to aperture priority. Shoot it. See what your camera does in terms of shutter speed, and then try that setting to shoot the scene without the ExpoDisc and see how it looks. I also want to thank our sponsors, Boink Software. the makers of Photomagico 2.0, and I'm going to have some interesting news about them coming up pretty soon too. But in the meantime, they have signed up for the rest of the year, and they will be helping these podcasts continue, and I just want to thank them so much. And take a look at Photomagico if you haven't. By the way, there's a tile on the digital story for both ExpoDisc and Photomagico. Go over to their sites and see what they have. This month's photo assignment is Window to the Soul. Window to the Soul. I'm going to have last month's photo assignment up probably by the time this podcast airs, and if not, you know, just within a day or so. But it's already time to be working on the photo assignment for this month, for April, which is Window to the Soul. And again, you know, normally we think of that as the eyes, and there's all sorts of very interesting ways to shoot the eyes. That's sort of the metaphor for the eyes. But there might be some other interpretations of Window to the Soul, too. See what you can come up with. Go to the submissions page on the digital story. You'll find out how to submit your photo. The subject line of the email is very important. Make sure that you fill it out the way it says on submissions, because I get a lot of mail, I get a lot of spam, all that stuff. I want to make sure that I don't lose your submission for the photo assignment. And of course, that goes for grab shots too. If you submit a grab shot, which I hope you do, make sure that you have grab shot in the subject line so that I don't lose it, so it doesn't get pushed away in some spam filter some way. That would just be a shame to lose your wonderful shots. Okay, back to Jay. Now, one of the things that he talked about for a while, which I was very interested in this part of his talk, he was talking about photo editing and how important photo editing is to being a great photographer. Now, of course, there's two types of editing. There's image editing. That's the sort of editing that we do in Photoshop. That's where we move pixels around. That's where we, you know, change the exposure and change the white balance and do all that kind of stuff. Photo editing, of course, is where you're looking at all of your photos from a shoot and deciding which ones are the best, which ones that you want to work on. That's photo editing. Now, there are new applications that help us with photo editing. Adobe Lightroom, which we talked a lot about at Photoshop World in Boston. I did a couple talks on it at the O'Reilly booth. We had a teaching area set up there right on the floor, and I was able to talk about Lightroom. And then I went to some talks on Lightroom, of course, because I'm always looking for new tips to steal. And I sat in, for instance, on Julianne Koss' talk on Lightroom and got a few tips out of the develop module, which I promptly stole and incorporated into my talk. She's an evangelist for Adobe. I'm an evangelist for O'Reilly. And evangelists, you know, that's what we do. We steal tips from each other and pass them on. Of course, we always give credit, you know, so it's not really stealing. It's borrowing with credit. But at any rate, Lightroom is a great application for photo editing, as is Aputure, which is another application that I really like and use a lot for deciding which are the best shots. So it's very important that when you upload a shoot or, you know, a batch of pictures, that you sit down, make sure they're keyworded and all that sort of stuff, but then really look at them. Look for, you know, sometimes a magical moment could be hidden in a shot and you don't initially see it. So you have to look at them large. Just don't look at the thumbnails. Look at a big version of the picture. Look at it at full screen. Zoom in, zoom out. And as you go through your images, then cull the best ones. Make sure that you pull out the best three or four shots from the day. And then those are the shots that you work on further in the develop module, or if you're in Aputure with the heads-up display, or if you're in Photoshop, you know, with the tools that are in Photoshop, and then perfect them. But you don't have to go through and image edit all of your shots. That's a waste of time. Really work on the shots that are your best shots and make sure they're labeled as your best shots, either by star rating or color, whatever you do. But photo editing is the key to pulling the great photography out of your everyday shoot. And I think that was a wonderful reminder by Jay to help us make sure that we're showing our best work. Jay shoots a lot of photography in New York City. That's where he lives. I was talking to George Jardine afterwards, who knows Jay fairly well. George is the pro digital photography evangelist for Adobe, and George was saying that, you know, telling me more about Jay's place, which is this bank building that he bought in New York City back in the 70s. It's like six floors, and Jay was able to buy the whole thing and restore it. It was empty at the time. Jay lives on the top two floors of the bank building and goes up on the roof and does a lot of shooting with a 600 millimeter lens where he has a 360 degree view of New York City. This is really fabulous. And he just likes to zoom in things with this big lens of his and capture it. So, you know, he does a lot. And of course, Jay walks the streets all the times with a camera around his neck, taking pictures of all the interesting stuff that he sees. And some of the stuff that he captures, you know, are signs. Signs are, they can be terrific photo subjects. But one of the things that he said was important, that if you have lettering or numbers in a photograph, it's going to be red. That's the first thing that our eyes are going to go to. So if it's the main focus of a photo, that's fabulous. And you can use that. You can use repetition of signs and things like that, or a really clever or funny sign that you see, that can be a great photograph unto itself. But don't put lettering and numbering in your photos unless you want people to go right to them. You know, so if they're not the main element, you got to be careful with that sort of stuff. So signs make great photo subjects, but be careful about having them as ancillary parts of your composition, because in that case, they can pull your eye away from the main subject. And finally, I want to close with an anecdote that he actually told me after his talk. I was talking with him, and he said, you know, a friend of his brought a cardboard box to one of his talks. And I wrote about this on the digital story too, but it bears repeating. And Jay said, well, what's that box for? And the guy said, well, you know, during your talk today, half of the people are going to leave before your talk is over because they're going to be so excited that they have to go outside and take pictures right now. And believe me, I can relate to that because I was ready to shoot after sitting through half an hour of Jay's talk. But that still didn't answer the thing about the cardboard box. So Jay said, I know, but what about the box? Well, the guy said, well, the cardboard box is for everyone else because the rest of the folks are probably going to want to just put their cameras in there and walk away after they see your beautiful images. I want you to be the person that wants to go outside and shoot after you see fantastic photography. I hope you go do that today, tonight, tomorrow morning. Get out there and take some pictures, work on the photo assignment, window to the soul, get a grab shot turned in, and I will see you back here next week for some more digital photography. Thanks so much. I'll see you then. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.